Anyone who has worked in Katie's garden over the past several years has learned a lesson that every gardener already knows. Before you worry about the seed, before you think about fertilizer, your watering schedules, or weed control, there is one thing that matters more than anything else. It's the soil. And we've seen that lesson with our own eyes. The original side of Katie's garden, the left side, has consistently produced beautiful vegetables. The soil is dark, loose, and rich. The tomatoes flourish, the beans climb, the squash and the zucchini spread all across the rows. And then after a couple years, we expanded onto what we now call the new side. We planted the same plants, the same volunteers cared for them, the same sunshine and rain fell on both sides. Yet the harvest was very different. The difference wasn't about the seed. It was about the soil. Now, we didn't abandon the new side when it didn't produce. Year after year, we've added compost, we've improved drainage, we've cultivated the ground and patiently worked the soil. Every season, it improves just a little bit more. Healthy soil does not develop overnight. It takes time, it takes care, it takes someone willing to keep at it, keep working the ground. That simple lesson helps us understand today's gospel. We often call it the parable of the sower, but Jesus really spends very little time talking about the sower. His attention is on the soil. Four different soils receive exactly the same seed, yet they produce four completely different results. Jesus himself explains the meaning. The seed is the word of God, and the soil is the human heart. So this parable really isn't about farming. It's about what happens whenever God's word is heard. First, Jesus speaks of the hardened path. The seed never penetrates the ground because the soil has become packed down, and the birds quickly carried it away. Jesus says that this represents those who hear God's word, but before it takes root, the evil one snatches it away. The thing is that hearts don't become hard all at once. Just as the path became packed down after countless footsteps, our hearts become hardened by multiple and persistent sins. Disappointments can harden us. Success can make us self-reliant. Repeated sins dull our conscience until God's word no longer penetrates as deeply as it once did. Left to ourselves, our sinful nature resists God's word instead of receiving it. Then Jesus describes rocky soil. At first, everything looks promising. The seeds spring up quickly with fresh green growth. But beneath the surface lies solid rock. The roots cannot grow deep, and when the hot sun comes, and it will, the plants wither. Some receive God's word with great enthusiasm. They rejoice in God's promises. But when the blazing sun of suffering comes, when faith becomes costly, when prayers seem unanswered or life grows difficult, they fall away from the faith because roots never develop. Faith built upon favorable circumstances cannot endure hardship. The third soil may be the one that resembles our lives the most. The seed begins to grow, but so do the weeds. Jesus says the thorns are the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. The plant isn't destroyed overnight. It is slowly crowded out. That is one of Satan's favorite strategies. He doesn't always tempt Christians to reject Christ outright. Instead, he fills their life with distractions, busy schedules, financial concerns, endless entertainment, consistent noise. None of these things are sinful in by themselves, but together they crowd Christ outward toward the edges of our lives until his word receives less and less attention. Finally, Jesus speaks of the good soil that produces an abundant harvest. Every gardener hopes for that kind of fruitfulness. In telling this parable, Jesus quietly asks each one of us a question. What kind of soil are you? If we're honest, we recognize something of ourselves in every one of these soils. Sometimes our hearts become hard. Sometimes our faith grows shallow. Sometimes worries and distractions choke out our devotion to Christ. This parable exposes something that we would rather not admit. The greatest problem isn't from outside of ourselves. It is from within our hearts. The revealing of our sin is exactly what God's law is meant to do. It shows us that by nature we do not produce the harvest that God desires. Left to ourselves, we cannot make our hearts into good soil. But this is where the gospel shines so brightly. Notice what Jesus never says. He never tells the soil to improve itself. Soil cannot soften itself. Rocky ground cannot remove its own stones. Thorny ground cannot pull out its own weeds. Every gardener knows that if the soil is going to change, someone has to work it. Our Lord is not only the sower, he is also the gardener. Through the prophet Ezekiel, God promises to remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Notice who performs that work. God does. Through his word, the Holy Spirit creates repentance where there was once pride, faith where there was once unbelief, and hope where there was despair. Every Sunday, the divine gardener is at work right here. Through his law, he breaks apart the hardened places in our hearts. Through his gospel, he pours out the forgiveness Christ won on the cross. In holy baptism, he plants us into Christ. In holy communion, he strengthens the faith he himself has created. Week after week after week, he patiently continues his work. But sometimes we wish that spiritual growth would happen instantly. We wish that one sermon solved every struggle and one prayer removed every temptation. But God usually works much more like the faithful gardener. Patiently, consistently, over time. And that brings us back to the new side of Katie's garden. If we as gardeners had judged it after that first season, we might have called it a failure. Instead, faithful gardeners kept returning. They worked the soil, they added compost, they pulled weeds, they watered, and they waited. And every year, the ground became richer. God often works that same way in us. Perhaps you still struggle with worry. Perhaps impatience gets the better of you. Perhaps old temptations continue to appear. You wonder, why is my growth so slow? Remember the new side of the garden. The gardener has not abandoned it, and neither has he abandoned you. The Apostle Paul assures us, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God never plants a seed he intends to forget. In fact, Jesus himself became the greatest seed ever planted. He said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. On Good Friday, his body was laid into the earth. It appeared that the harvest was over. But on the third day, he rose victorious over sin, death, and the grave. His resurrection guarantees a harvest that will never fail. And because Christ lives, God's word is never powerless. It still creates faith. It still forgives sins. It still strengthens the weak. And it still comforts the grieving. It calls sinners to repentance. And it still bears fruit exactly as God has promised. And one day, that final harvest will come. The Lord of the harvest will gather all those whom he had brought to faith through his life-giving word. Every struggle of sin will be over. Every weed will be gone. Every hard place will have disappeared. We shall stand before him clothed in the perfect righteousness of Christ forever. So if you have an opportunity, walk through Katie's garden. Look first at the old side on the left and then the new side on the right. One reminds us of what rich soil can produce. The other side reminds us that patient cultivation changes the ground over time. Together they proclaim the lesson Jesus teaches us today. It's really all about the soil. Not because we make ourselves better soil, but because our gracious Lord never stops working on our hearts. Through his faith and through his word and sacraments, he softens what has become hard, removes what chokes our faith, deepens our roots in Christ, and produces the fruits of faith that glorify him. Thanks be to God that the one who sows the seed is also the gardener, a gardener who lovingly tends to his field. Because he is faithful, we can be confident that the harvest that he has promised will surely come. Amen.